And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one. That's how we get the podcast.
The podcast.
The podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
The podcast.
The podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
I don't poop.
Thank you, Kim Jong-un. Yay! Podcast time. Finding your very special someone just got really easy when you download the Match.com Match app. And Patrick is our resident Match.com user. You're loving the app?
I love the app. It's great.
It lets you get your matches sent directly to your phone. If you're looking for love, you've been looking in all the wrong places. Just right. Look on your phone. Match.com app. You can get them right there. Plus, if you're one of our seventeen listeners, you get we're
oh,
10
like
more.
You made it so much better.
We're 10 more. Can't discount that. If you're one of our 17 listeners, you can get 7 days for free. That's where the number 7 came from. All you have to do is go to match.com/Bubba, match.com/Bubba, and you can check it out today and take advantage of it. Hello, Killer Bees.
Hello, sir.
Comedian Killer Bees is here, and always fun whenever we get to have you on the podcast. People always are like, he's my favorite. Anytime you have a guest, yeah. He's my favorite.
Yeah. I wish there was match.com for my wardrobe. So I could have asked my wife, does this match? He could just do that.
You know, we thought one time that we were going to invent an app like that. Remember that? We were like, yeah, we're going to invent this app.
Oh,
it's going to be like
genius.
Crowdsourcing and having people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And what happened is somebody else had invented it before
oh,
us.
Oh,
so
same name.
Same logo we had
oh,
come up
really?
With.
Yes,
yeah.
For real. It was everything. Dude. It was like, wow, well, this is a fail.
Just got to show you that if you think you have a great idea, it's probably already been done.
Yeah,
but
somebody's already thought of it.
It's still worth trying the idea.
It's this.
At least researching it.
Yeah, it's this. If it's something that, and I mean this as a general rule, if the average intelligence person has come up with it, it's probably already been done. Now, if it's something that's like super brainy,
like us,
yeah,
us.
We can get into things that are very, very deep. And you know, complicated,
right. And it would take all day to explain it. So we're not really going to give any examples.
Yeah,
especially right now.
Yeah, that would take a while, and y'all will be at work or wherever by the time.
Sure,
we get to.
Was the one that you came up with, Bubba? The Bubba goes, I have a great idea.
I don't know. Did it have something to do with bananas?
No, it had to do with coffee. The self-heating coffee.
Oh, yeah. I thought I was like, you know what we need? You know how they have like the coasters like this that you plug into your computer with the USB and it keeps your coffee mug warm?
Yeah.
I said, why don't we have one that has the battery
the
and the heating unit
in
built
the
into the mug on the base of the mug?
But while he's talking about it, I'm Googling it. I'm like
we
yeah,
need
it's
to
on
invent
Amazon
it.
Right now for $19.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I was thinking, you know, to be able to carry your mug around and not have to worry about
it
getting cold.
The one I found even has a little plug where
a
you
USB
can charge
plug.
It in
yeah.
your car. You know?
Paint yeah. the inside of the mug with sodium, and then when the liquid gets in there, it'll create
it
its own heat. Well, or that.
Pure sodium
will
explode.
Well, they would do like 50% mixture. That's an experiment. You know,
yeah.
they
plus we get to blow stuff up, which is kind of fun.
There, yeah.
Is there
some
anything better? Because, you know, we all did it when we were kids. You know, nowadays you get labeled a terrorist if you do it. But, like, we would do stuff like hydrogen sulfide or some, I don't even remember anymore. It was some pool cleaner liquid. And
oh,
we,
really?
Yeah, and it would you combine it with what is it? Hydrogen or I don't remember what it was, but you combine it.
Let's not tell people how to do this.
Well, you combine it with certain things, and it would have a reaction. So we put it in like Coke bottles and put the tops back on and throw it and just like blow up ant piles and things
wow.
like that. Yeah, it was great.
We were old school. We just emptied firecrackers out and got a big stash of powder.
Oh,
and
yeah.
would stuff things with it and blow those up. One time we were on a kick where we would get rifle cartridges and we would get pipe cleaners, those fuzzy pipe cleaners, and we would smear them with Crisco cooking grease, the Crisco, the white Crisco, and then wrap them around the shell and set them on fire, and it would make the round cook off.
Oh, wow.
So that was fun.
But that's the kind
of
stuff that now gets you.
Are we giving bomb recipes? Because
no,
I got a better
no.
I got an easier
well, I'm
one.
Sure, y'all made me hold out on mine. But, you know, it's weird because, like, nowadays, even just having this discussion, you're a terrorist.
Yeah.
You get labeled now.
I know how to make different timers if you want a time bomb.
See? Well, okay. You don't say bomb. You say time explosive.
A timer
device.
If you need
a timing device.
Gosh, I really don't want to get a call from.
We're going to get visited
from Homeland Security
today. Bunch
of
dudes are going to pull up.
We were listening to your podcast. The easiest one.
Well, I shouldn't tell it then.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
We really shouldn't.
Uses an ice cube.
An ice cube.
Uh huh. And two hacksaw blades.
I have one that uses Tupac.
What? I don't get that.
I said that and I looked over at Big D's face and he's like,
I don't get it.
Shakur.
He said Shakur, he used an ice cube. And never mind.
Okay. Anyway, big things in the news. We bombed missiles in Syria and the
59 Tomahawks.
Yeah. A guy called us this morning. He used to be on the ship that fired him.
Wow.
He's just talking about how loud it is when they go off.
And that's a big missile. They're saying that missile's 18 feet long. They don't look that big in the pictures. You don't think they figure 6-8 feet. 18 feet long.
The thing is that they're so smart now. Those missiles have such great guidance that, I mean, it's
almost like the Domino's pizza guy was flying it.
Yeah.
Because they can find any place.
Yeah. Sure. Sure, Keller.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, by the way, it wasn't like just launched at some random spots. They actually launched it at the airfield where the attack with the gases came from.
Oh, yeah.
So
and
that was
specific
the idea.
Spots on that airfield, too, from what I understand.
Really?
What I heard.
Uh-huh. I didn't realize it was like exact like locations.
Mm-hmm. I think they hit separate aircraft, even.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So that's what I'm thinking went down. I think they had I really shouldn't tell all my secrets because I have such a high clearance.
Well, go ahead.
High security clearance. But I think they actually took pictures of the field right before launch and plotted where the individual aircraft were sitting.
And so they could hit the ones they wanted and not the other ones?
I think they wanted to hit all of them, actually. But I think that is and parcel to that operation.
Do you remember that movie from like the 80s, like early or late 80s? I don't remember, but I saw it on Netflix. It was called The Final Countdown, and it was basically like there was this American aircraft carrier, that got sucked through this wormhole and sent back to 1941, Pearl Harbor.
Right,
the whole thing kind of escalated. They were gonna basically have F-14 Tomcats and all that stuff go up against the Japanese.
Right.
And I don't want to ruin the movie. I'm not going to give a spoiler 30 years later, but it's actually pretty interesting. It was a fun movie. They should totally remake it.
I do remember that movie.
Could you imagine the stuff we could do? I mean, the war would have been over in a week if we had the technology that we have now.
Well, when we went into during Desert Storm, I mean, it was almost like that.
Yeah.
I mean, we were expecting a lot more pushback in...
That was the shock and awe campaign?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shock and awe.
72 hours, something like that.
72 hours of American awesome.
To mop it all up.
Yeah.
Remember the Moab, mother of all bombs, the bunker buster bombs, the things that would drill down, it would go down into the ground and then explode, and it's a huge ordnance.
You remember Bunker Bob, the little guy that worked for Saddam, and he would always do the little TV reports. Yep. He goes, there are no Americans here.
They have
nothing. We don't have nothing
yet. And then the next one, it's like our American troops there.
The tank rolling past.
And he's like, those are fake. That's not really happening. It was great, man.
We killed him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he died.
Yeah, he was one of the cards. You know, we had playing cards.
Oh, I'd be dang.
Yeah, he was one of the cards, and he got whacked.
Wow.
Nobody wants to be on the cards.
No.
Wow. So he was sent to go fish.
He was. He was indeed.
What is up with all the Scotland people listening today? Like, right now I'm looking on the Facebook feed, and we've got several people from Scotland. Dunfermline. I hope I said that right. Dunfermline. Scotland, and also, where's the other Scotland? Just lost here. Glenboig. I know I'm not saying that right either.
Because y'all said somebody got killed.
Yeah. Oh! Wow.
Someone did get killed.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's killer bees.
Bubba
loves
check
a
that.
Good pun.
Are you zoomed in?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, because it misses you. When you turn, you miss yourself because you're zoomed.
I miss me every day.
Ah, okay.
What's not to miss?
I do want to ask Bees about, you know, the other big news story this morning was that Don Rickles had passed.
That sucks.
And I don't know if you had any opinion on Don Rickles, or had you ever gotten to work with him? Did you?
I never met Don Rickles. The only closeness I've had to Don Rickles was at one point in time, my picture was up in a hallway at Nellis Air Force Base out at Vegas where the Thunderbirds are,
yeah.
The Air Force Thunderbirds, and they had a Wall of Fame, and my picture was between Phyllis Diller and Don Rickles. So that's really the only... That's your close call.
It's closer than I've ever been.
So.
The thing with Sinatra?
Have you heard that story?
I don't know.
It's like the classic Don Rickles story where basically he was, you know, new-ish as a comedian, and he was working one of the rooms in Vegas, and he went out and he's like, "Hey, Mr. Sinatra, can you please do me a favor? I'm trying to impress some friends here. It's, you know, I'm kind of new and I just want them to show that I'm special. Can you please walk up to me while I'm having dinner?" And
they're kind of friends. I mean, they are friends.
Yeah. Like, at this point, they're acquaintances ish. And he's like, "Could you please do it?" And Sinatra was like, "Yeah, I'll do it. I'll come say hi to you." So they're, fast forward a little while and they're in the middle of their dinner. Frank Sinatra, the biggest superstar on the planet, walks up to Don Rickles at the table and goes, "Hey, Don, how you doing?" Don goes,
"Not now, Frank. I'm having dinner."
Yeah.
Shoot him away.
And Sinatra, apparently, according to the story, just was kind of like,
but he didn't break. He didn't break it. He didn't break character. Okay. He stayed the whole thing.
And then he turned and walked away.
Yeah, he just ignored Frank Sinatra.
It was like the most legendary thing ever.
Dude, that's awesome.
If I'm Don Rickles, I don't want to do that because I know what happened when the Kennedys dissed Frank Sinatra.
I don't think that's what happened to Kennedy.
I think that's what it happens. Get on the internet, y'all. Get on your Googles and find out.
Don Rickles was his comedy style was very, very biting. It was, you know, kind of harsh, and you didn't see a whole lot of comedians that had that style. And why is that? Is it just because it's harder to do? He took personal jabs at a lot of people.
Well, it's a tightrope doing that type of an act because it in order to make that work and for people to enjoy it, they've got to like you, and that is a special kind of talent that can do that type of a show, the put-down show, mm-hmm. and still be likable. So that was one of the magic things that he had, was people liked watching him. He wasn't just being a butthead and being rude, you know, and that's what you have to overcome if that's the way you're going to do your
I can't even think of another act that is similar to that nowadays who does that.
You see a lot of people try to emulate that now, but in a very light form, you know, just a few little, much more innocent quips at people when they do crowd work and stuff.
Yeah.
But Tim Wilson used to do some pretty, he wasn't quite as mean about it as Rickles was, but he would start his show with 10 minutes of crowd work
right
every night. And he was a little bit rough, you know, but I don't think since he's passed, I don't think I've seen anyone else that does that.
So, like,
that's hard to do. Like I said, you've got to remain likable,
yeah.
And the things you say have to be funny enough. I worked with a guy named Manny Oliveira on a cruise ship recently, and that is his act. He has them bring the house lights up, and he walks through the crowd and through the audience and does just absolute crushing put downs, and of course the crowd eats it up. They're like, you know, there's something to be said for people that can pull off a shock value.
That's gonna be hard to do though. That's all off the cuff,
yeah,
right?
And it
does
changes,
he already have some things?
It changes it, every single person.
Well, he has a bunch of it set already because it's a different audience every time. Yet there's going to be similarities. There'll be somebody.
It's going to be what?
There are going to be similarities in the audience.
Similarities?
Yeah, it's just like a real hilarity, but yeah, it's a similarity.
You do know that you're not even saying the word right.
No,
right?
I did not know that.
Yeah, you said
similarity.
Similarity.
Okay.
It's not similarity.
Oh, okay, there's that then.
How old are you? Have you been doing this your whole life?
I'm 90.
Similarity? Your whole life you've been saying it. No one stopped you?
That's what you fly. Yeah, that's what you learn how to fly an airplane in.
Yes, a similarity.
In B's defense, I heard an interview with Merle Haggard the other day where he said similar. And I thought, well, that's not right. But Merle Haggard said it, so I'm going to just let that go.
Yeah, I was just paying, I was paying tribute to
Merle.
All right, hey, no. Fair enough.
We appreciate that.
All right.
As a tribute to Rickles, he used to say that. But you will see in an audience, chances are there'll be someone else there with a walker or someone else.
A bald guy.
There. Yeah, correct. So there are some set.
It's like the Monsters, Inc.
would
thing.
Use. Or he would see someone in the back of the showroom with a turban and would point them out. This was in his act. And go, oh, I thought we got rid of you. And, of course, it was like a Bin Laden reference or something. And the whole audience screams and goes, oh, I can't believe he did that.
Yeah, gotcha.
It's like Monsters, Inc. Like when you go to Disney and you go to the Monsters, Inc. showroom where they have the laugh thing and you got to get the crowd into it and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's the same kind of thing. They have the same jokes and they're ready to go. Yeah, like...
Right,
it's pretty brilliant, actually, to be, you know, to have a red hair joke, to have a whatever joke, and then just the camera pans on him, and they go, oh, look at him.
Someone texts it in. People are commenting on Facebook Live, but people are also texting in on our 800 number. Barb, good friend of ours, she says, the first time I've seen Killer Bees, I didn't picture him to look like that. So I don't know. How are you going to take that?
I'm going to say thank you, Barb.
I think he's beautiful.
She did say, I do love him, though. She just texted that.
Though? Did she say though?
I do love him, though. No,
I love him, though.
I do love him, though.
In spite of that, I love him.
So I think they expect you to have a big, giant beard or I don't know.
You know, that accent. They need to watch you on what is it, Moonshiners?
Moonshiners on Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
Then you'll see me around jars of liquor. That makes me look even smarter.
Do you feel that your accent and your quick wit is part of why you're on that show?
On the Moonshiner show?
Yeah.
The accent helps.
For sure.
Yeah, because a New England accent, you know, or Boston accent wouldn't fit.
No.
On there. And so, and I am, I have come up with some good ideas. Mm-hmm. Of stuff to do,
they need brains like yours. They need the creative minds that think differently, and you know what? You know what's funny. You know what's intriguing. You know what's interesting.
You get the comedy. You have the timing. Yeah.
Yes. You ever hear old videos of Popcorn Sutton speaking?
Mm-hmm. You know, his partner J.B. Rader is one of the people who trained me.
Oh, that's right.
Apprenticeship.
Yeah.
So
you're like in the lineage.
What was the whole story on Popcorn? I have bits and pieces of it.
They've got a documentary that's pretty wild and revealing.
So, I mean, he was making moonshine, and they busted him, and he went to prison still when he was like 90 or 80.
And he had gone to prison before, got back out, and was making moonshine again, and was busted again. He had his steel indoors in a barn, and there was a fire. And someone saw the flames and called the fire department. And they got there, and that's how they found his steel. So he was awaiting trial for that. And at the same time this was going on, found out that he was diagnosed with cancer and did not want to go to prison, two, did not want to go back to prison with cancer and took his own life.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's... That's a truncated version of the way I understand his moonshine.
Why was it so sought after? It was just so much better than everyone's, did it just kind of grow with time?
I think he was one of the, and I'm not going to say one of the first people to do it, you know, because all the way back to George Washington and before that, people were making distilling spirits. So Popcorn Sutton was quite a character.
I was going to say that probably had a lot to do with his celebrity, is that he was such an animated type figure, and he was. If you said show me the stereotypical moonshiner, he was
the big giant beard, thin guy, overalls.
Couldn't understand him.
Yeah, right, and that was his whole life, was making that moonshine, and so I don't know how many decades under his belt of supplying, I think it was in the Appalachians. You know, the guys that I worked with, Mark and Digger, could tell you way better than me. This is just stuff I've gleaned from sitting around with them in the evenings and hearing them reminisce and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I know he had some recipes of his own that he tweaked. And to this day, J.B. Rader and them will make some of those same recipes. But there's a lot of little tricks and detailed stuff that these moonshiners do to change the way the moonshine, the booze, ends up tasting and the alcohol level and stuff. There's
and it's
so
more
many
than just changing ingredients. It's more than just peaches to apples to blackberries to whatever.
Oh, right, exactly. And there are so many ways to cook it up. And
does temperature make a difference?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Alcohol flashes out of your wash, which is the liquid from your mash, your fermentation stuff. That evaporates out at 173 degrees.
So you don't want to
So you want to go a little bit above that, but you don't want to get hot enough that you're turning the water that's in that mixture into steam. Because when it all condenses back down, that water mixes in and lowers your proof on your liquor. So it's kind of a balancing act to boil as much of the alcohol vapors out without getting much of the steam.
I always wanted to make my own moonshine, but I'm afraid to like go on Google and find the recipe. Here's what you do. Here's how you make your still, all that kind of stuff. Because I always feel like, you know how they have that anarchist cookbook thing? I know we talked about the little explosive stuff earlier, but you know how they have that? And I always, you hear the stories, well, oh yeah, they leave a couple recipe or a couple ingredients out, and that's how they find out who's trying to do it, because they blow themselves up. That's kind of how I feel with the moonshine thing. It's like, if you go and you build a still, it might blow up on you, because they can blow.
Yeah, well, because the alcohol vapor is so highly flammable. But you can order still online. They have them for sale online. Brand name.
Yeah, but are they good?
Stills, I would imagine.
They're probably kind of like what you're using. They're very similar.
Yeah, nice.
You know?
Nice. And they have electric ones. Electric is a good way to go because you don't have an open flame. It reduces the risk of fire and explosion. And you can dial in your temperature better and not burn the botanicals that are in your wash.
I was hiking one day in North Alabama. With some buds. This is a couple of years back, and we came up upon a still, and it was, you could tell it was freshly used.
Oh man!
Like the whole area was very disturbed, and I'm like, get out of here, because you don't know who
booby traps and stuff.
Yeah, you hear the stories. Like you go there, and it's like the NVA have planted pits with punji sticks or whatever coming up.
With all the guys I've been around in my very short moonshining adventures are professional people who no longer have to do that for a living, and so it's not a I don't know if people do booby traps. I have no idea.
Like you're walking in the woods and they've got the strings with the fish hooks on them and everything, and you're like, no, cover your eyes, let's get out of here.
Yeah, I guess it's like anything else. You've got people that are
crazy
and then people who aren't, so.
All right. Thank you, Killer.
I'm glad that clears everything up.
Thank you for that. Killer, Patrick is still looking for the love of his life. He has...
Have you tried Match.com?
The Match.com app sends it right to your phone, Patrick.
And he is, just not having any luck. And we were talking off the air about this. Patrick and I were... earlier this morning, and while Patrick has a lot of things to offer, he feels that being out of shape is the biggest hindering.
It's a big detriment.
He feels that's the biggest detriment. That even though he is funny and intelligent and
can we say fun-telligent from here on out?
Fun-telligent.
Fun-telligent is hot.
He's very clever. He's witty. He's
not a bad kisser.
No. He's not.
I don't like those words coming out of his mouth.
But he just feels that, being out of shape as he is.
I was just saying, I don't have to be skinny, but if at 300 pounds, which is 50 pounds less than I weigh now, which is a shocking sentence, I was doing a lot better with the ladies. It's crazy to say. It's like there's a sliding scale at which your personality and your lifestyle and your attitude can make up for your physical appearance. And then there's a point at which you're so fat that even that doesn't help anymore.
So now, do you walk up, like if you're at a party, you do a lot of these industry parties, mm-hmm. and there's probably a lot of very attractive people, yes. I think, that go to that. And you see someone that you think, wow, they're really attractive. Do you approach them, or do you just kind of...
Oh, wait, how far a walk is that?
Let's say... Hi, I'm Patrick. That's why are you sweating so much?
You ordered an Uber usually... to take the others out of the bar?
Do you hide your sweat towel? Lift?
Your sweat towel.
Piggyback.
Yeah.
Anyway, like, what do you do? Like, you
I
see...
don't. I don't do anything at this point. I don't have any self-confidence, so I don't even try.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
I just, you know?
You just let it go.
I let it go. At this point, it's kind of like, eh, you know what?
You know, it's kind of like you're not in attack mode. You need to retreat a little bit, rebuild.
Back to the training camp.
And then
it's like, you know, go back into the field.
See, and I disagree. You shouldn't retreat. You should just go, you know what? Keep moving forward. Don't retreat. Like Colt Ford says, reload.
Have you tried flashing money?
That's frowned upon at
Monopoly
parties.
Money.
Can't you buy those? It's like
those fake packs of money.
It's like fake wads of cash
at like the party store. They have it,
and in a setting like that, they would never pick up on it.
Trick them till they get to know the real you.
Yeah, and then you just kind of go like, oh hey, and you pull and it falls out of your pocket because you're taking something out of your pocket,
right.
Your phone or something, and it.
Plops out. Like a good way to get mugged later. Guy's got $1,000.
Don't drop milk duds out of your pocket with the money.
Is that a biscuit? No.
No.
It's two.
No.
It's half a biscuit.
That is not a biscuit. It's a hot dog. Come on. What's wrong with y'all?
Well, I mean, I think
I didn't have
time. I'm glad we're here to help you.
I know.
Because we care.
I see that.
Lots of help
I
going
see
on
that
here.
There's a lot of helping going on.
Would you ever do the surgery?
I can't afford it. And it costs too much.
I thought you were talking about going to Mexico to do it, like where they do it
for
like way cheaper.
And he let that go.
Well, yeah, because everyone.
And we talked him out of it.
Everybody talks you out of it.
Well, it is dangerous because you don't know what you're getting.
Everybody talks you out of it.
Yeah, we were talking to Patrick about going to Mexico for the gastric bypass. Mm-hmm. And
there are companies who do what's called medical tourism, where you go to Mexico and you have the surgery done there. And they take care of, you know.
And it's cheaper.
To get it done in the hospital here would cost something a lot because our insurance won't cover it. It would be like $25,000, $22,000 to $25,000, depending on the hospital and the doctor. To fly to Tijuana, stay there for a week. That's where it is.
Look
okay.
At Killer's face.
Why does it have to be Tijuana?
Because that's the closest city to San Diego.
I would probably go to Mexico City, though.
No.
Mexico City, I think, is a bigger city with better medical.
No, you're wrong.
Really?
There's a hospital in Tijuana. This is all they do. It's American doctors, American patients, everything. It's right across the border.
Okay.
These guys drive to work there every day. That's where they work. Okay.
All right.
What does it cost there?
Okay. The flight, the stay for a week. You don't go in and then the next day you go home.
So it's not outpatient.
These guys are pilots.
You stay there.
That's right.
You stay there for a whole week while they watch you to make sure you're okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. In the recovery, the surgery, the doctor's fee, everything, the whole time, it's something like $6,000.
Oh, geez. Well,
it's dramatically cheaper.
Compared to what did you say, $20,000?
The doctor makes more money doing the surgery than if it was my doctor would here.
Can you get liposuctioned
that's
and
how
sell
much of a
that
rip-off
stuff?
This is.
Can you get liposuction and sell that stuff to the people that do the butt puffing?
I've thought about that. That's not a bad thing. Idea.
I've
got enough
sell
fat
your,
in here.
Sell your light.
Sell your light.
No, maybe not.
It's pretty good.
It is. It
could sell be you light. Is
that's our next company.
Good.
Google that and see if it's available.
Is
sell
anyone
you light.
Is anyone selling sell human body light. Fat to put as implants? No, I don't think so.
We could do a bake sale.
Wouldn't it be great?
But you can't work at it.
What we call this is we're fattening you up. Fat. We're.
Hey,
we're
I'm looking.
Make you fat.
Sell,
so he's
sell
not.
Sell with an S.com is available.
Okay, why do we want that?
Because it's our next $1 billion thing.
That's, and that's
okay, our first $1 billion thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not legal.
And that's how we get you hooked up for free.
So now what, let's say you
not
did.
Not legal yet.
No, what made it worse is that one of the companies that does this told me they would give it to me for free.
As like a promotional thing.
As a promotional thing. We would talk about it before and after. But everyone, my doctor, my family, my friend, everyone, you tell them I'm going to go to Mexico and have surgery, and they go, whoa, you know.
What if you said, hey, I'm going to San Diego to have surgery? It's all different.
I'm going to call Big D out in a second. It's going to be really bad.
It's okay.
Because the other thing is I don't want to have surgery because then I'll lose 150 pounds, and it'll be a big deal, and he will act like it was not like I had nothing to do with it. That is
because
your biggest
it was a surgery?
Beat. Yeah. If I
oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, you
he doesn't like when people have weight loss surgery and say they lost 200 pounds. Like, no, you didn't lose 200 pounds.
You had surgery.
That's
surgery. Like saying, hey, I grew my hair back. No, you have hair plugs.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's still a big ordeal to go through.
Listen, and I don't care. If you're listening, you can totally disagree with me. I get it. I understand. But I'm saying that it is difficult. It is not easy. It is not like you have the surgery and it's a miracle. Your life changes. I understand that. Our bud Mark, he went through all that. But you know what he does? He works out hard.
He goes to CrossFit every single day and whatever.
He's like doubling up. He's doing.
And I know a lot of people who had the surgery and then.
And they don't do anything.
You know,
it doesn't work.
I came across, remember the other day.
It doesn't work because they don't do anything?
Because they don't do anything. They don't live up to it. It'll work for a little while.
Yeah.
But it won't work great, and it won't work forever.
Well, I was telling you guys about that guy.
And I don't have anything against it. If you're working hard, man, I'm all for it. I'm just saying.
I just feel like I want to do it. That's just more motivation for me to go, I got to be able to do this on my own. I don't want people, it's not you specifically, but if you feel that way, other people feel that way. I don't want people to be like, well, he didn't really do it. He just went,
It is a thing.
There's somebody saying, get a TV show, Patrick. Mama June did it. They'll pay for it.
Yeah, but Mama June had not just the sleeve, but all kinds of surgery.
Yeah, she had all kinds of stuff done.
Awful.
Yeah,
is it just me?
She still looks like Mama June.
I didn't
June.
See the very latest,
Stop.
But I saw what? I'm
Stop
just
it.
Being for
It'll
real.
Be on your matchmaker account.
What? No, but like, you know.
Okay. Am I the only person who thinks Mama June is not attractive?
No.
Okay,
I agree.
So don't lie to me.
No, I agree.
She's skinnier. Whatever. Congratulations.
She's a lot skinnier, but she's had a lot of work done.
Yeah.
But to me, I don't think it's. Listen, people think that you just
look. Oh, don't get me wrong. She looks better. But.
But what?
I guess.
I still don't think she's attractive.
I mean.
Also, I know she's going to open her mouth and go, moral dog,
and just talk.
Honey, butter.
She's changed that too, though. I watched several episodes of the show, and they de-neckified her.
No way.
They did. They did.
Seriously. Yeah, but they didn't make her smarter, so don't pretend.
She's got to be pretty smart. She had a TV show pay for all that.
Well, you know what? That's
she
true.
Went. She didn't.
She went to Mexico.
What did she have? Do you know? Do you know the details of what she had done?
I know she had skin removal. She had, she did have a sleeve done, which is the weight loss surgery I was looking at. And then, I don't know, a bunch of cosmetic stuff to get rid of the thing.
The neck fat, or the gooseneck, or whatever you call it.
Oh, that's not a gooseneck.
A lot of the things the Japanese do when they harvest a whale. It was a lot of similar tools.
Similar things to that.
Similar.
Did you just do the joke just so you could say similar?
Did not.
Oh.
Did not.
You are a pro.
I just, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about how I hadn't been in the gym. I was going to the gym for a while. I hurt my shoulder, and I've taken 2 months off, and I finally got approval from my physical therapist to go into the gym and do certain things. It's not the same, but they were like, well, yeah, I'm going to go to the gym whenever I lose weight. And I said, well, no, why are you doing that? You know, because I'm the fat guy when I go to the gym. And let me tell you something. It's uncomfortable. It's very awkward. You walk in and you feel like you're being judged the whole time. But one thing I've learned is, yeah, sure, they look at me when I raise my arms over my head and my belly shows. You know, nobody says anything. And I think in a other way, they're also going, get it, fat boy, get it.
Yeah, of course.
Like, you know, they're kind of rooting for you for being there.
Yeah, and the 10th time they see you there, then there's respect growing.
Yeah,
and
the people going, who
man,
make the
look
people,
at this guy.
It's hard to get over that point, though. I can't tell you how many times I would drive to the gym. I'd pull up into a parking place, and I'm looking in, and I see somebody on the treadmill with their headphones on. They're watching some movie, and I'm like, that is so not me. and it's still not. I hate cardio, and I refuse to do it. I'd rather just go lift or something. But it's hard to get in the door the first time. And you know what? Even sometimes the 25th time, I've pulled up, and I'm going, I'm going to lay down for a moment and take a nap. I'm a little tired. And next thing you know, I sleep there. And I wake up, and it's been an hour. I'm like, oh, got to go.
People who make fun of fat people who are at a gym are like, I was like people who make fun of a homeless guy at a job fair. They're trying to better themselves.
Yeah.
And every time I see someone who's jogging on the or walking or doing that weird half and half thing.
That is a weird thing. Yeah. That half walk.
And they're in their body is not, they haven't lost enough weight to where they're like, you know, it's where it's fluid. And if I'm with the boys, I always go, you know what? Good for them. And if I have my window down, I'll go, hey, good job. Keep it up.
Yeah.
Because
but then don't they think that you're being sarcastic? Hey, good job. Keep it up. If somebody did that to me, I'd be like, you suck.
Oh, I don't know.
If they just drove by and said, good job, keep it up. Doesn't that seem like it's a little condescending?
Well, that may not be the exact verbiage he would use. I mean,
I don't remember.
The way we're hearing it here, I mean, I'm sure if you drove by and go, hey, man, you can do it. Just something like that. Just some words of encouragement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think people appreciate. And like you have pointed out, like Patrick's pointed out, a lot of times people don't know that they are being cheered on. You know, we think the worst. Oh, my gosh, they're looking at my belly. They're going, who's this old dude trying to work out? When really and truly, they're going, that guy's back again.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it inspires everybody.
Hey, what can we promote for you? What are you doing? You got anything that you need us to push?
If you see
Killer in your
Killer
area?
Killer Bees will be at Zany's in Nashville this whole weekend.
Actually, you've got your whole tour schedule where? On your Facebook? On your website?
KillerBees.com. Do that. Mainly, say a prayer and keep your fingers crossed for me to get back on Moonshiners.
Yeah,
that's a bad thing to say a prayer for?
No, it's not a bad thing. There's no such thing as a wasted prayer. I've learned that. If you want to pray over a Little League baseball game, go for it. You can't waste it because, you know, it's worth it. Gotcha. If it means something to you, then it means something to you. So pray for it and don't feel bad about it.
Very cool.
I would have you on Moonshiners in a heartbeat. I would have you hosting the whole thing.
Look at that. Yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
Man, you're actually jumping on cruise ships here in a little bit. You got the Nashville dates, you got Galveston, and then you're like on all these Elation and Liberty and all these other ships all over the place.
Yep.
Do people on the ships, like the cruise ships, do they get like weird if you call it a boat?
Like, I've heard back on the from boat. Some of the crew not to call it a boat, to call it a ship. Of course, the captain called it a vessel. They call it a vessel.
Oh, it's a vessel.
You know, but it's fun doing them, man. Everybody knows me that's on the ships. Most of the people I end up being with are from the Southeast. And I go, Killer Bees. So I'm like, well, cool. So I have fans already when I get there.
That's nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you ever have somebody who you get on there and they're like, save up?
Oh, yeah, constantly.
Oh, that's cool. Constantly. We had a couple people on Twitter and on Facebook.
You ever need an opening act save on up. The cruise ship? I would do that.
They don't let us have one. They don't let us have one. We go up.
You go up cold?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, I mean,
they don't give you a what?
An opening act.
Like there's a comedy club manager that will go up and welcome people, tell an off-color joke if it's the adult show, or a corny pun joke if it's the PG show, and bring you straight up.
Oh.
You're the first comedian.
Just so you know, that's
is that hard?
And you have to have...
As the guy who's usually the guy who goes first, it's harder to be the first person out there. Yeah, it is.
And you have to have three totally separate shows. So you got to have three totally different opening bits, three totally different closing bits.
How many nights, like let's say you do a seven-day cruise or five-day cruise?
I do five shows every cruise, whether it's a three-day cruise or a seven-day.
And you have to do five totally different shows?
Three totally different. They repeat a couple of them because they want all 3,000 people to filter through the 500-seat showroom that you're in. Okay. So it's not a gig for comedians without several years of experience. Oh,
yeah. You've got to have a well to dip into.
Yeah, you got to have a deep bench.
You're talking about an hour? You got to have 3 hours of
They're half hours. You do a half hour.
Okay.
But like I said, it's three different, totally different ones.
Yeah, wow.
And it is a cold room when you go up.
You ever start like your routine and you go, oh, this is the same one I did
45
minutes ago. I need to hurry up and shift gears.
Yeah. Yeah. Like 44 of these cruises in the last 13 months. How many times five is 44?
I've done
that many.
Shows or cruises?
Shows.
Shows.
Yeah. 200 and whatever.
Wow.
Something.
Come on, Patrick.
250 years.
I didn't hear the quote. Was there
three
a
shows, 44 cruise? Three shows, 44 cruises.
No, five shows, a cruise, 44 cruises. How many shows?
You've done
that?
44 cruises or 44 shows?
44 cruises in 13 months.
Somebody's going to beat you at the math,
Patrick. Oh, it's 220. I wasn't trying to do the math. I was being shocked by.
Dude, it sounds 220. Yeah.
So back to your question, it's easy to all of a sudden be halfway through a bit that belongs to one of the different sets, and so then just being it's a big step up skill wise than the comedy club circuit. And
Do you have timely jokes? Like you go, you know what? This is one I have to tell right now, and it has to be in every show because it's really what people are dealing with.
I don't have a lot of those because I like to be able to use a joke for a long time.
Right.
And when you're doing topical, timely stuff next week, that joke's no good.
Right.
So I generally don't deal with that. I may come up with a quip about something, but as far as sitting and writing bits, I try not to do that because I want to be able to use it coast to coast for the whole year when I'm on tour instead of just.
So are you the whole show with a 30-minute set? Do they come in, they seat the room, you do 30 minutes, and then they leave?
Correct.
Wow.
And then they go to the room that does the song and dance productions. Then they go
to
bingo. Then they go to eat surf and turf.
Double-fisted on the cruise. You're like, hey, comedy show, gotta go. Yeah. And then you do that, and then you go to the next deck after the comedy show, and you get that pizza. And then you go to the
pizza
other
pirate.
Deck. You get all dressed up sometimes, and you get the little tuxedo on, and you go sit at the table.
Elegant night.
Yes. Yeah. That's fun.
So
we need to do a cruise.
Yeah.
I know they've asked us before if we wanted to do a cruise.
Do a cruise.
We could get every.
What?
Just saying.
I know. I'm just saying.
Cruises are cool.
I don't want
to
do.
If you like cruises and you're watching on Facebook right now and you think we need to do one, go ahead and hit.
What do you mean, like a Big
Button.
D and Bubba cruise?
Yeah, I think that would be fun.
We're not doing a Big D and Bubba cruise.
And we do
We've
the
been
show
saying
from
no
the
to
boat.
That for years.
Or from the ship. All right, give me some likes. No likes. Oh, there goes one.
I just
kind of think it's. I don't know.
We'll book the entertainment. I want to do the comedy part.
See,
we'll get some of the.
Great.
We'll get Dan and Shay.
That would be great too.
I can't do a different 30 minutes three times, but I could do a different 10 minutes for three different sets.
Yeah,
I'd be on the
Patrick
Big
could be your
warm up.
I know they don't allow you to, but
it
would be a special
cruise. If it's our cruise, we want to.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we can get the New Kids on the Block.
This is how we'll decide how much
and
time.
And I can get the moonshine deal for that ship.
Yes!
See?
Boom.
We could have balloons for the kids. We can fill them up and tie them off and then let the balloon go. And by the time it hits the ceiling, that's how much time you have to do your comedy.
Oh.
David just said we need to get Walker McGuire on there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Durr.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Right there.
We are building it right now.
You know the story of Walker McGuire, right?
Of course, but you tell it.
These guys are
Croatian.
I'm so proud of them. 5 years ago, we started.
Didn't I do a show with them?
You did do a show
with you guys at Baton Rouge.
That's right. We wanted to do this thing where we followed the
progress,
the process, right, of becoming a country star. And so we're just kind of looking for the right person. And Bubba one night was watching Patrick play at a club, a bar or whatever. And he's like, man, I found the guys. And sure enough, came in that next Monday, played. I'd never heard him. Played. And I was like, what? These guys are great. And they would come in every other month.
I thought it was a terrible idea before I heard of it, before we settled on them. Because to find someone, you want someone who doesn't have a manager, a touring agent, a publishing deal, a record deal.
You've got to meet somebody the very first day they decide they want to become a star.
They're
Yes.
Talented enough. They have good enough songs, good enough personalities to come in and do
enough
radio
seasoning.
Once. Well, yeah, good enough personalities to come in and do radio once a week and not be boring. And they kind of got to have a decent look, but you know, a marketable. And I'm like, let me tell you, you know how many people are looking for that guy? Everyone into every head of every record label has 20 people out searching for that guy. Yep. Trust me, if he's out there, someone's going to find him before you. Nope, we found him in a bar, in a hotel. But it's a buddy of mine.
It was crazy. I felt like that moment in Back to the Future whenever Chuck Berry's cousin's like, Chuck!
Yeah.
It was like that moment.
Marvin,
I was like, Big D.
You know Marvin Berry?
It was so cool. I mean, we knew instantly. And Big D didn't hear. He had never heard them. So we get him into the studio and he's like, well, we'll try this and see what happens. And I would say probably 30 seconds into the first song, he went, this is going to work. You could see his face change. He's like, these guys have it. They're legit. And they write their songs. They're not like,
and
you know.
And they write great songs.
So now, you know, they signed a deal. They're same deal with Trace and Jason Aldean.
And all those cool. Guys.
And so they, their song is getting released nationally to radio
on Monday.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it's, you still think they're going to have the number one ad?
It's going to be the number one most added song at country radio, I think, on Monday. Which is,
well, they crushed in Baton Rouge, man. I remember that.
I mean, they're
just good.
They're just great.
They love cruises.
We're probably, you know.
Even if they haven't been on one, it's time for them to fall in love with one.
That's right. Hmm. All right. Anything else, guys? I got to get rolling.
No, I think we're pretty much covered everything.
All right.
I'm going to go pet the dog.
Killer. Thank you
Your
so
dog's
much.
Here?
Yep. My Malty Poo.
Why didn't you bring the dog in? You showed me the picture of the dog earlier.
Because I didn't want you to get big.
Good. Don't bring your dog in.
He doesn't like when people bring dogs.
I like when. You know,
I'm not a big fan of it.
I don't mind it.
Unless it's,
if you're holding it, that's fine.
I cuddle it.
Oh, good.
So you'd be like, dude, please stop.
Oh. Now, he didn't have a problem when Jessica Simpson brought her dog in.
She held it the whole time.
Yeah. It was great. She had me pet the dog while she was holding it. It was awesome. I'm like, I get this close. I'm this close to Jessica Simpson the whole time. Ah, it was great.
Florida Georgia Line brought their dog in, and it walked around the whole room in here
and
sniffing.
And it licked
and
Bubba's
like,
microphone.
It did.
I was like,
and then he licked the dog slobber off.
Yeah, but I won money on that. Big D bet me like
20 bucks. Well, we all threw him money.
Lick the microphone after the dog.
I had like 10 bucks.
You licked the dog mic?
Yeah, the dog licked the mic, and I'm like, ooh, how much would it take to lick the mic? And you know,
how much
yeah.
you got?
I
think
I like 100 bucks.
It's on video. It's on our YouTube page. It's great.
Really?
Yeah, it's a great great history.
Yeah.
Great history of us in Florida Georgia Line.
That's how you can get money for that trip to Mexico, Patrick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That sounds like
take
something I'm going to do.
Take bets on doing gross stuff. See?
No.
It would be worth it.
Killer
Bees. You
Save
can
up.
Catch him online, killerbees.com. He's also on Twitter. He is a rabid Twitterer.
Instagram.
He's on. Yeah, he does Instagram. He does it
everywhere.
All. So make sure you're following him. Thank you, man. We really appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for having me in, man. Good to see you.
Is there anything else you want to say before I thank Match.com again?
I do not.
You
do not
mispronounce any other word?
Yeah, let Killer Bees read the script.
Here you go. I'll give you the script.
That's always nice.
Knock that out for us.
What I would like to say is that finding your someone just got even easier when you download their mobile app to get your matches sent directly to your phone. This is Match.com I'm talking about. Also, our listeners can get 7 days for free by going to Match.com/Bubba. Check it out today.
Thank you, Killer
Thank
Bees.
You,
You're welcome.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. That's okay, because you can listen to the regular show.
You can every day.
On the radio, every day. It was the podcast.
I'm sorry.